This is the SOAC Lead High Interest topic on February 9th, 2015 in the Padang Ballroom from 1400 to 1515.
And ladies and gentlemen of the scribes, can you please type back something that we can confirm? Mystery meat. Yeah. All
right. Taters.
Taters. Taters. You know, well, the first thing I, when I go back there, is probably when I go back home, is to make myself some mac and cheese. Yeah, risotto. All right. Hello, scribes. Can I please get a confirmation that you're receiving audio? Hey, hey. Huh? All right. No, it's still not coming up. Scribes, scribes, come in. Oh, are we those ones back there muted? Yeah, he's muted. Thank you. Scribbles.
They might be hearing you just fine. They might be typing away manly.
Yeah. Okay, give me a yell. Give me a yell.
No way.
True that.
That's going to make. But they're not in LA. But they're not in LA, are they? PM? Wow. It's a hell of a trick. Hey, hello, scribes. Please type back if you can hear me being mind-numbingly boring. Thank you so much.
We good? I know, because of...
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be starting this program in approximately 2 minutes. If you'd like to take your seats, we would appreciate it very much. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Director of Global Media Affairs, Mr. Brad White.
Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate that. I have a personal note I need to get out of the way right away. because my cell phone was causing a hum in the mic cable, it means my mother is not going to be able to text me in the middle of the presentation, as she frequently does, to tell me to fix my hair, my collar, et cetera, et cetera. So, Mom, leave me alone, all right? Now that we got that out of the way, welcome to the high interest session. This session's a little bit different than some of the others that you may attend at an ICANN meeting. It's basically all of ICANN's supporting committees, advisory committees, supporting organizations, stakeholder groups coming together to try and find an issue that should be dealt with collectively as a community. During this meeting, they collectively decided that we should deal with ICANN, the way in which ICANN approaches its workload. And when I say ICANN, we're talking about not just staff, but the community as well. This session, another way it's going to be unique, is that we're not here identifying problems. These gentlemen, who are representatives of their respective groups, and we'll get into that in just a second, have done that. This session is all about finding solutions to some of the challenges that have been identified. It's about finding answers. It's about getting your ideas. These guys are here to hear what you have to say. They want to hear your ideas for the issues that they've identified. At the last meeting in Los Angeles, community leaders and some senior ICANN staff came together in a focused effort to try and generate some new ideas, think out of the box a little bit, come up with some clear goals aimed at helping community volunteers and the staff deal with the workload. As we all know, ICANN is growing exponentially. Every meeting, more and more people. We're getting more and more interest around the world. We're in news headlines. The net result of that is the workload increases. Increases for staff, increases for volunteers. The group identified three opportunities to enhance the way ICANN approaches its work and thus improve the effectiveness of both the staff and the volunteers. Identification of the three challenges gave way to some discussion questions. Work prioritization: how do we best prioritize ICANN's work? There's a lot to do every meeting. If you just look at the agenda, the schedule for ICANN 52, it can sometimes be overwhelming. That is representative of the work that is being done at ICANN in between meetings, not just during meetings. Information access: how do we best enable access to ICANN information and content? Those of you who are new to ICANN, who've been on the website, realize that if we're nothing else, we're pretty transparent. There's a lot of information there about just about everything we deal with. Sometimes the challenge is finding the information you want and finding it in a timely manner. Stakeholder engagement: how do we best engage and retain ICANN stakeholders? We talk a lot, Thoughty talks a lot about inclusivity. We want multiple voices from multiple arenas from all around the world. But once we get them, what's the best way of engaging them? How do we keep them? Project teams were formed for each of these areas. These gentlemen represent those teams. Immediately to my left, Keith Drazik, who's the chair of the Registry Stakeholders Group, represents the Work Prioritization Group. To his left, Alan Greensburg, chair of the ALAC, our at-large group, is from the Information Access Group. To his left, Bill Drake, chair of the Non-Commercial Stakeholders, represents the Stakeholder Engagement Group. These gentlemen are supported by some community leaders who are up here. Why don't you folks stand up and just turn around and let people see you? They may be reaching out to these chaps for additional information or help as issues arise. We want to keep this loose. This is not going to be a real structured, highly produced session. We want to keep the conversation going. We want to keep this a little bit on the unstructured side, so that's going to be the effort here. Our hope is that they, too, will add to the dialogue. Let me manage your expectations. This is a huge brainstorming session. So here's how you need to engage these gentlemen. We have two microphones right up here. We want to hear as much from you as possible. We want to hear from as many voices as possible. So we stole a page from the public forum. We're going to have a clock on you, so when you make your comments, there'll be a clock on you at 2 minutes. If you go over 2 minutes, we do have snipers in the rafter and you will be taken out. You can also engage with Twitter. There is a Twitter account, hashtag AskSOAC. Rob Hogarth, raise your hand, Rob. Rob is monitoring the Twitter feed, and he'll signal me. He's the voice in my head. My ex is the other voice in my head, except Rob doesn't want money. We also have the Adobe chat room where people can engage us. Benedetta is on there. She'll alert us if there's some ideas, some comments, some questions that need to come up, and we'll get to those as well. These representatives are going to take what's developed in this session, and they're going to take it back to their respective groups to develop, to work it, to chat it out. So what we're involved in here very much is a percolating process. So with that, each of these gentlemen are going to explain what their respective groups have done to date and how they got to where we are today. Keith, your prioritization, so I'll prioritize you. You go first.
Thanks very much, Brad. Is the microphone on? Yeah. No microphone? There we go.
There you are.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much, Brad, and thanks for the setup. It's an honor to be here. I should take a note, I think, before we get started, to thank Fadi for his efforts going back to Los Angeles, where we brought the chairs of the SOs, ACs, SGs, and Cs together to start having some of these conversations about the concerns of sort of community volunteer overload. So just a note to Fadi, so thanks for bringing us together, for giving us the time and the resources to have this type of a conversation. I think it's very important. As part of the work prioritization project team, it's myself, as Brad said, Keith Drazik, chair of the registries, Elisa Cooper, chair of the business constituency, Rafiq Damak, NCSG chair, Patrick Falstrom, SSAC chair, and Byron Holland from the CCNSO, and very ably supported by David, Rob, and Benedetta. So thank you all very much for that as well. The issue of community overload, I think, has been, in the last 12 to 18 months, I think, has become a bigger issue, a bigger problem, a challenge. We, as you know, the ICANN community have a tremendous amount of work underway and have for years and years, but it seems that the intensity and the introduction of new topics sort of out of the blue has caused quite a bit of overload and a tremendous amount of work. For example, we had the new GTLD program underway in the GNSO, and then, of course, everybody knows last March the introduction of the IANA transition discussions. That sort of came out of nowhere. We had ongoing work that we were dealing with and had to add in the capacity to be able to deal with something new. Each of our individual communities have individual work streams. There are things that the registries are working on, there are things that the GNSO is working on, different things that different communities here at ICANN are engaged with. But I think we're seeing more and more in the last year or so sort of cross-community work that is, whether it's a cross-community working group or things like the IANA transition that have us all engaged. So I think the challenge before us is trying to figure out a way to prioritize both internally in our individual groups, but also across all groups to make sure that we are not sacrificing quality because of the quantity of work. I think one of the things that I've seen, just as a personal note in the registries group, is that it's become harder and harder this past 12 to 18 months to make sure that we're responding to all of the public comment periods that are out there. There are so many different public comment periods, and it's been a challenge just in terms of volunteer capabilities to make sure that we're both responding in a quality fashion and a timely fashion. And we really effort to do so, and I think we've done a pretty good job under the circumstances. But generally speaking, I think we as a community need to try to prioritize our work when it becomes extremely, when the pipeline becomes overloaded, then it becomes a triage effort, I think, for the community to determine what is it that we can do in a 12-month period or a 6-month period. And I think the more that we can project ahead things that we are that we most care about as a community and make sure that we get to those first, the better off we'll be. So why don't I stop there, and I really want this to be a dialogue once we get to the Q&A period. So
Okay, thanks, thank Keith. Alan Greenberg, representing the Information Group.
Thank you very much. The group that was doing this was much smaller. It's myself, Michaela Nalon, the chair of the registrar stakeholder group, and Christina Rosette, who was the IPC past president, assisted by Chris Gift, Ashwin Ragan, and Teresa Swinehart. Before I go into the details, I think it's worth noting the three topics we have on the agenda today were developed effectively independently. Different people came up with them. And it became obvious very quickly, once we started talking about them, they weren't independent at all. They're tightly linked. And, you know, I would claim, I don't think Keith would agree with me, that if we could fix the second two, the first one isn't an issue. There are certain issues, certain things that we're dealing with, and IANA transition and accountability is one of them right now, which essentially are thrust upon us and we can't do anything about them. The background work, I think in general, we're able to sustain. Right now, from an at-large point of view, we've put other things on hold. They may not have been the ones we lowered the priority of 6 months ago, but when it became obvious the workload that was associated with the transition and accountability, which for some of us, I think, adds up to about 15 hours of conference calls a week, other things normally take a back seat. We don't have to, you know, do a prioritization exercise. They just don't get done. And that's the way life works sometimes. But to go back to the specific topic I'm talking about, as Brad pointed out, we are a very open organization. We publish lots and lots of stuff. Anything that comes out of any working group meeting, be it the transcripts, the transcriptions, the action items that come out of it, we publish. They're there somewhere. Finding them is a challenge. I know in the last week, I have a couple of times tried to find something that I know I saw within the last few days. I know they're there. I think I remember how I found them. I can't find them again. What one has to do if you don't even know they're there or don't know what quite the right buzzwords are to do the search on or where it is on the web is virtually impossible. That means anyone that we bring in as a newbie into the organization has a very hard time finding things. When they finally find them, they're probably couched in words they don't understand, because we're not really good about doing precis and summaries that are understandable. If, heaven help you, that person does not have English as a native language, it just gets augmented. These things build one upon the other. And we're not just talking about, oh, the website is horrible, we need to fix the website. It's much more structural than that. Very often, when I'm looking for something associated with some policy process, I go to the wiki site that I know is the home of all information. It's not there, because it was stored somewhere else. Or I go to the GNSO website and look up some generic topic like policy activities. Some of them are there, some aren't. It becomes really a difficult issue to find things. We're not really good at tagging things so that the search engines, internal or external, can find them. I'll give you a current example. Up until a few weeks ago, maybe months, but I think weeks ago, if you were looking for the information about the CWG IANA transition, anyone want to make a guess where you found it? You have to go to the GNSO wiki and work your way down that hierarchy, because that's where it happened to have been placed by someone who created that wiki page. Now, that group is a cross-constituency group. There's CCNSO, there's ALAC, there's a bunch of other groups. But if you don't know to look for it within the GNSO, you'd never find it. And it's that kind of thing. We need I hate to say this, but we need a top-down ordered discipline and design of where to put things so people can find them. And then, of course, we need search engines and nice, friendly web pages and things like that. But it really is a more structural issue than just, you know, I can't find the information I'm looking for. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. Bill Drake, representing the Stakeholder Engagement Group.
Thank you. So bottom-up is not the answer for information management, you're saying?
No, bottom-up is not the right answer for getting people to do things in an organized manner.
Yeah. Okay, well, as my colleagues have said, these issues are all closely interpenetrated and difficult to address individually, and they collectively have the impact of reducing our overall capacity as a community to work effectively. And so we were trying to parse things and split them out a little bit. This project team was, again, a small one. It's me, Tony Holmes from the ISPC constituency, the Rudy Vaznik from MPOC, and supported by Chris Mundini and Sally Costerton and the staff. And basically what we were talking about is this. ICANN's developed all kinds of programs now for outreach to try to draw more people in. We fly around the world. We have meetings in different places. We have staff tasked with doing outreach activities and trying to bring people into the tent. The problem is you get people into the tent, and then often you can't get them from the doorway into an actual work process. So the issue was really not so much outreach. I think we're doing okay with that. The numbers are growing. The community is growing. Every part of it, I think, is taking on more and more people. The problem is inreach. The problem is getting the people who have come in into a work stream and sustaining their interest and engagement. And how do you do that is a real question. It's something that we haven't actually, I think, organizationally or as a community set up mechanisms that are specifically tasked to address those kinds of questions. And, you know, we all see the results. I know that in my case, NCUC, we've had lots of new members join, but many of them will end up just being on the mail list, and maybe they'll participate in some discussions of some topics as they come up, and they'll vote the annual election and so on. But when you say, if you really want to get into work in the GNSO context, you've got to join working groups and dig down into the dirt and really, you know, engage in these things on an ongoing iterative basis. Very often, for newbies in particular, it's just really hard to figure out how you do that. So you end up with this dynamic, and I think this cuts across all the community, where we're expanding in numbers, and yet you see the same, relatively the same set of hardcore people involved in the policy processes. You can go to meeting after meeting and see the same faces and not a lot of rotating in new skill sets and capabilities and so on. And that's a problem. It's a problem in terms of, you know, ensuring that we come up with solutions that are broadly supported by the global community. It's a problem in terms of mobilizing people's human skill sets and resources and talents and so on. It's a problem in just all kinds of ways. So we have to think about ways to try to turn, and I'm going to quote the great poet Greg Shatton, lurkers into workers. Is that copyrighted, by the way? But it is true. I mean, we have a lot of people, I think, in the community. To say lurkers is maybe sounds disparaging. But, you know, they look at these processes, some of which are very dense and time-consuming and iterative and so on. There's lots of jargon. You come into a process that seems to have been going on for 4 years, and you're in the middle of it, and you can't figure out how you get started. Who do you talk to? You know, how do you get into the flow of things? It's quite difficult. Do we need then some kind of approach, whether it's some kind of a community engagement type mechanism that would work across ICANN or a Sherpa system to try to help buddy up with people to guide them through and help them get sustainably engaged? I mean, this is the question that we've been trying to think about. So we did a little 2x2 matrix where we just kind of try to differentiate, and this is not actually it because it doesn't differentiate what I was about to say. We're differentiating between issues that apply across the community and then issues that apply within particular parts of the community, just to try and get people throwing stuff on the wall and then thinking about both the barriers and the possible solutions. And this is just two examples of possible barriers and solutions that we talked about the other day in a joint meeting. But there's many others as well. Making sure that we find ways to make the process attractive, on a cross-cultural basis, accessible, open, and something that people feel like they can find personal reward in engaging in, that they have the incentives on a volunteer basis, and particularly if they're actors like civil society actors who don't have financial skin in the game and are there because of they believe in the issues, they're motivated by values and so on, it can be quite hard, I think, sometimes to keep those people really on board, serious, hardcore, extensive work. So this is a challenge. How do we begin to do that? How can we think about that as a community? That's what our group is starting to try and address. And it fits very closely in with what these guys are doing.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Brad. So just a note, I mean, I think we've sort of set the stage here for a conversation in that this is we've identified the challenge, right? And now it's up to us as a community, I think, to determine how we approach this challenge. You know, we don't want anybody telling us how to approach it. It's really up to us now to identify the tools and the mechanisms and the processes that we want to follow and that we think will work best for us as a community to determine ICANN's workload. I mean, and certainly, I think one of the things that Fadi mentioned to us on Friday when we had the conversation this week is that what we're talking about here, including the prioritization effort, can actually and should actually play into ICANN's budgeting process and the strategic planning and the budgeting, importantly. So we actually have some opportunities, I think, here in the very near term, if we can handle it, if we can fit it into our existing workload, to try to prioritize the things that we care about coming up over the next year to 18 months and for 2016. So taking it from the problem statement and sort of the challenge to us all to figure out how we want to address this, the work prioritization group, with the support of Rob Hogarth and staff, started doing an inventory. We figure if we're going to prioritize our work, then the logical first step is to actually do an inventory of existing and anticipated work streams and to identify places where there may be overlap. There could be things, for example, Whois, where there are probably half a dozen or more parallel or sequential work streams and implementations going on right now. You know, and so to do an inventory and to try to identify the ways that we can say, okay, this makes sense, this is applicable to the entire community or a subset of the community, so we can at least try to get a framework or a matrix developed that will inform our discussions. So it's not that we're just talking about the problem. The groups have actually started looking at possible solutions, but this is really about all of us. It's about the community, and so we want to hear from you.
I might add, building upon that point from Keith, this is a process, again, where we're reaching out to you. These folks are reaching out to you for your ideas, your solutions, and your thoughts. As is often the case, you may dwell on this session afterwards, and you may think, well, geez, I wish I'd have said this. This is the beginning. When this session ends, that's not the end of the process. Our good friends from Explain, you may have seen their work from the Buenos Aires meeting, they're going to capture in a visual sort of way what is going on in this session. And this whiteboard is going to be near the ICANN registration area. So if an idea comes up, if you're thinking back on this session and you want to add something, or you're thinking, geez, you know, this never came up, I think it should, here's your chance. Again, it's an ongoing process. These gents want to hear from you. And again, let me just give you our Twitter hashtag again. It's AskSOAC, AskSOAC. So if you're in the room, you want to ask the question via Twitter, you don't want to get up to a mic, that's fine too. We're now going to open it up, and if you want to line up at those two microphones, you can do so. But while we're doing that, yeah, Alan.
Yeah, I'm not wanting to lead the discussion, of course, but when we had this earlier meeting last Friday, in preparing for this, I had a sort of an epiphany, a brilliant insight. If volunteers were employees of ICANN, this problem would not have gone on this long without trying to fix it. I think volunteers need to be treated more as employees from the point of view of being provided services and given the benefit of tools that if you were paying for our time, you would not have let us go this long without them.
That leads into an interesting question while we're waiting for the group to line up, or while we're waiting for questions to come in. You guys are here searching for solutions. You want to find some answers. You want to hear some thinking. Have you determined what doesn't work?
I can tell you one thing that I think doesn't work is for a few people to end up having to carry all the load, because it's unsustainable.
Bill, what you're talking about here is what you mentioned earlier, the same people tend to show up over and over again. Is that it?
Yes, but you know, it's just simply a problem that lots of people, when an issue comes up, will express initial interest in it and say, yeah, that's something that should be done. When it comes time to actually get down and do the work, people kind of disappear a bit, and you end up with a few core people who are left holding it, and they can't do it. And they also can't very well manage the work processes and play the Sherpa buddy role of helping new people in at the same time, because they're just maxed out. So you get people, you get the hardcore people are completely maxed out and overwhelmed, and the new people are a bit frustrated that they can't figure out how to get in. And it works on each other. You know,
there's one other aspect. When we do get new people, they usually come once and then don't come back.
Yeah, which is a
message. There's a message there.
Yeah, absolutely. Michele, let's take you first, and then we'll do Patrick.
Well, Patrick was first. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see who lined up. I don't care. Patrick, go for it.
Is that a snipe at his height?
Let's deal with that afterwards, Michele. So let me, Alan, you triggered a couple of things which I think...
Hey, Patrick, forgive my interruption. Just for the sake of the scribes and the record, can you give us your name?
Absolutely. Patrick Feldstrom. I'm chair of ESSAC. I was part of the group that that Keith just presented regarding priority. You triggered a few issues when you said, Alan, you compared employees with the volunteers and how we use the time. And I think that, yes, it is true that it might be the case that if we were employees, that we would not have the tools and we would not run the processes the way we do. And that might be true, but the fact is that we have volunteers. And that is one of the few things that we cannot change here. So regarding priorities, I think it's crystal clear that one of the reasons why we are here, which was the question from Brad that I started to think about, is that without prioritizing, we have, and what we see from ESSAC's side is that all of us individually are spending an enormous amount of time on trying to produce good work, which is then not used in an effective enough way, just because simply, for example, we write from ESSAC a report that might be very important, but it doesn't fit the schedule of GNSO or something else. So it's actually much, much worse than having a company wasting time of their employees, because that's only money for that company. But we are volunteers, and we are wasting each other's money. And that's why, for me, the prioritization is extremely important.
Thank you, Patrick. Michele.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just going to follow up. Michele Nolan, for the record. I'm chair of the registrars. I think we had a very interesting conversation between the chairs on Friday afternoon. And so, you know, it's following on from a conversation we kicked off. I think it was in L.A. And, you know, we went to ICANN and we said, look, this is ridiculous. We can't find information on the website. We know that the information is there. But if we, you have to use Google to search. And if you're really good at using all those extra search operands, you might find the data. You know, the thing around the number of volunteers who are actively engaged on things, it's actually quite scary. Because, you know, ICANN in many areas is setting policy that impacts millions and millions of domain registrants. It impacts businesses varying in size from small one-man shows through to multi-billion dollar corporations. And obviously it impacts then users of the internet in the broader sense. Yet a lot of that policy has been developed by a very, very small group of people. And that group has not been growing as the importance of this entire thing has grown. And that is a serious issue. And I don't have solutions for that. I mean, I'll put my hand up and say I can't solve it, but it's something that needs to be addressed. You know, you cannot expect this relatively small group of people to take on this massive workload. And remember, for most people involved, they have day jobs. I mean, Alan said he spends like 20 hours a week or something on conference calls. Most people in Europe, anyway, working week is 40 hours. So 50% of Alan's working week is spent on something for which he doesn't receive any actual monetary compensation. In the case of Keith, it's a little bit different. Obviously, he has a financial interest in it. I obviously have a financial interest as well. But, you know, not everybody has direct financial interests. I'll shut up now. Thanks.
So it's basically, we talk a lot about a work-life balance. It sounds like there's an ICANN life balance also.
Yes.
By the way, if you guys want to respond to any of these or make a comment, just speak up. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Fiona Asonga, and I'd just like to comment on the access of information that I can activities. You know, the biggest challenge is that there is a lot of material out there available, but when a newcomer wants to know about ICANN, it's very easy for them to go to the ICANN main site, and then they get for the link for the newcomers and learning about ICANN. But when you look at the tools, so what I'm saying is the tools are there, but when you look at the content that we are putting, it gets very confusing, because the learn.ICANN site has courses. Some of the courses are very relevant to what ICANN is doing, but what is lacking in that whole program is there is no information on the constituencies. So a newcomer comes and they go through all that material and they think, oh, we just go and we sit and we discuss things related to internet governance, to IP addresses, to a lot of other stuff that is in the domain names that is on the site. But they do not realize that all that discussion happens in a certain structure. And I think there is where the broken link is, because I've tried to get members from my particular country to come in for the ICANN meetings. I run them through that. When they come in, they realize the discussion is at a very different level, so you have to spend time with them to help them understand how the discussion is happening for them to now see the value. However, those who see the value then appreciate it and want to come for another ICANN meeting. And they want to volunteer, and they want to know how to get engaged, but they need to be able to understand what the different constituencies do, and that is the information that is quite fragmented, that is not consolidated in sort of one portal somewhere. Thanks.
I'd like to respond to that. I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Fiona, and it seems to me like that problem has gotten worse, and it's not a criticism of anybody involved in developing the website or anything like that, but I mean, we've got like lots of nice pictures of happy, shiny people on the website. Meetings together, all looking up at boards and, you know, looking very engaged, but try to figure out actually which part of the community you're supposed to plug yourself into and what their respective roles and activities are and so on. You don't find the information well linked at all. A lot of it is off-site and not really connected, and the silo structures that we've built up over time in ICANN, where we've fragmented the community 130 different ways, make people very uncertain as to exactly how they... I mean, if you're a registry, you could probably figure out that you should figure out where the registries are. But I mean, if you're a civil society person, you might look in a number of different places, or a small business person, or so on. So it's quite opaque. It's far more, and for us, it's all obvious. We speak to each other in acronyms. Well, it's relatively obvious. We speak to each other in acronyms. We have the embedded history in our minds. If you look at this from the standpoint of a new person coming in, I think it's just like, wow. And some people don't make it past that first step. Because of that. I mean, so something has to be done there.
So in getting back to our theme of searching for solutions, what's something to explore? You seem to be saying, Bill, and maybe I'm not understanding you, so correct me. You seem to be saying, if you're new to ICANN, it's naturally a confusing world, but there might be multiple places to find where you fit in. Are you suggesting maybe we need to simplify that, or at least look into the possibility of simplifying that?
Some kind of visual aid that would help to give you the overview of the topography, and then identify the relative bits, and then you drill down, and you find yourself linked into the relevant parts. Yes, that would be helpful.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Olga Cavalli. I'm from Argentina. I'm the GAC representative of Argentina I'm the GAC, one of the GAC vice chairs. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for organizing this meeting. I've been hearing about the use of the resources and time of people in ICANN since many, many years, and I don't have a solution. What I can tell you is the experience from someone that is not a volunteer. I work for my government. And this is one of the many things that we do in our daily work, and we have to deal not only with our daily work, but also we have to deal with things that happen in developing countries that sometimes when you talk about what we do here, they look at you and say, is that really relevant? Luckily, we had the new GTLDs, and we had the Snowden discussion about the... I cannot find the word... Jet lag is killing my English. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So that time came, and I said, oh, that's something interesting that you do in ICANN. So suddenly, some developing countries started to think about this is an interesting process to get involved in. And we have a workload of every day. We are not volunteers. And so for people coming from developing countries, it's a lot of work. Also, we have to try to engage our friends from the region. This is something that you know I do. And you have the language barrier, then you have the time barrier, then you have the time zones. So it's not all of us are volunteers. For some of us, it's a daily work, and we have to deal with conference calls, with the language issues, and also with priorities, not in ICANN, but also in our own administrations. Thank you very much.
Sir.
I'm Rudy Vansnik. I'm the chair of NPOC, and I'm going to talk to point three, the stakeholder engagement. I think it's we need to recognize that it's not ICANN steering internet. It's rather the internet steering ICANN and defining what ICANN has to work on. And that makes the life already difficult in the sense that when you think that, when you know that today this is an issue, tomorrow it's something else that is an issue, and is engaging other people. When I'm looking back into my history in ICANN, and especially the last 2-3 years, I've seen many people coming to our community, being very happy to be there, but at the end, it's indeed a question of participation and getting them involved in discussing in working groups and participating in the policy work. At the end, there is another element that we cannot forget. Myself not being an English native speaker, it takes time before I've put up my sentence in my head, before I'm going to express myself so that I'm not coming over as an idiot. And I think that's one of the burdens also, if we look into our community, and as Bill was expressing, we are looking into volunteers that most often are working across the world in NGOs and civil society. They don't have the possibility to speak every day in English. And when they come to an ICANN meeting, which is most often just an English platform where everything happens, they have the difficulty that if they cannot speak in their language, they will not participate. I think that's one of the elements that we need to take in consideration. How can we help people that don't have this native language?
Thank you very much. One thing I would like to point out is the captive prisoners that we have in those booths over there are all intended to help deal with that situation. I'm not saying that's a solve-all. It's
good, and it's indeed splendid that they are here in these aquariums. But when we do the work, they are not there. When we
Correct.
Are doing our work in our working groups and our conference calls, we don't have translation. And that's where you stop people working.
So what you're suggesting is looking at expanding what we have in a meeting and taking it to the work that the various SOs and ACs are doing.
Could help.
Very good. Thank you, sir. This raised an interesting question, and then, George, we'll go right to you. Are we searching for something? I mean, ICANN, at the root of it, it's a volunteer. It's heavily dependent upon volunteers. There are only certain people who have the time and the schedules to actually do volunteer work. Are we searching for a solution where none may exist? In other words, is it inherent in the type of work that ICANN does that you're going to see the same people over and over again?
I think there's no question that the subset of people who are candidates for working here is a limited subset. You know, it requires people who have a specific interest or interests to who do have some time and probably have some facility in English for much of what we do. There's no question. I think the problems we're talking about here are the problems that those people have. It's harder to grow that subset when people who are already so dedicated and committed to it are having such a hard time.
Brad, I would just make a different point that builds on what Rudy was saying. Beyond the question of language, we have an organizational culture. And that organizational culture, I mean, I'm sorry to say, is not the most internationalized I've seen. I mean, I spent a lot of time around United Nations organizations and the ways in which people operate when they're in a setting that is inherently multicultural, multinational, is just different from the way we do things here. There's the style in which people debate points, the ways in which people frame propositions. There's a lot of like deeply embedded cultural stuff in our way of operating that goes beyond whether you have a facility in English, which I think is for people coming from other cultures and other settings quite difficult to penetrate.
Very much so.
And to get really comfortable, if you're not used to arguing.
Right.
If you're not, if you're not used to somebody calling you on a point and saying, this makes no sense to me.
And that can sometimes be a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Very much so. George.
Thank you. George Sadowski. First, a personal note. I take a somewhat perverse pleasure in being in this meetings because you've verified that I'm not the only person who, when I get bombarded with emails and files and all these things that I find I can't prioritize, I can't keep up, I can't find information, and so on. It's a community problem. I'd like to address the third point, the stakeholder engagement. This is a tough organization to penetrate. The learning curve is steep. The threshold to get to the point where you really understand at least some of what's going on is very high. And I love the Sherpa analogy because the Sherpas help people to climb the really tall and dangerous mountains that they accompany them on. And I think that also provides a clue as to how we might make this penetration more easier for newcomers. I think we need an active mentoring program where those of us who have been in the organization and understand something about it are willing to take someone for a day, a newcomer for a day, and have them shadow them, introduce them to people, explain what's going on, and otherwise acclimatize them to what's happening here. If you walk out in the main room, you'll find a lot of people who seem not to be connected to anyone or anything. They're wondering what to do. They don't automatically go up and introduce themselves to people. We need a way of personalizing the introduction to ICANN. I think that lots of us would be willing to do it for a day, and I think it would really help the newcomers who come in and make them excited about entering the community, joining it, participating in it, and looking forward to coming back and working with the colleagues that they have been introduced to while they've been here. Thank you.
George, thank you. That's the sort of thing, and George hit it on the head, coming up with a solution, assigning someone, maybe someone being willing to take a newcomer around. It's an idea. We do that in part already, but maybe develop that. But I like the idea that that's solution-based. I think that's what you guys are after, right? Some ideas like that.
Thanks, Brad. Evan Leibovich, chair of the North American region. And I wanted to take advantage of the Twitter facility, and then I realized that I couldn't think of a possible question that would fit under 140 characters. I haven't heard one yet. And that actually, to me, is part of the problem, is because of the verbiage, because of the volume. And so take a look at, this meeting's squirrel moment, right? Everyone's focused on IANA. you need, I subscribed to the lists and very quickly got absolutely deluged to the point where it all becomes a blur.
That is what he said.
And so, Alan, do you need interpretation from me?
There's a squirrel moment, a Canadian reference that I don't understand. No.
Oh, look, squirrel. You know, that kind of. Okay. Sorry. All right. Anyway, but the point I was getting partially is just the deluge of information, and specifically, you want a concrete example, concrete solution, at least as an idea, for the IANA thing. I can't explain IANA to somebody not bathed in this mm-hmm. culture in a way that takes less than 5 minutes. Elevator pitch, it's got to be a really big elevator, and that won't do it. The sheer volume, some of it is an information issue, but some of it also is an accessibility issue. And in terms of solutions, right? Does there exist anywhere, whether it's provided by ICANN or anyone that said, you know, this week in IANA, that basically took as a matter of bullet points, we received a submission from this, and this is a couple of lines abstract of this is the point they were trying to put across. And so you had communities that were putting together and trying to summarize this in a way that becomes accessible, at least for even people that are even insiders that have been around this but are not so immersed in this stuff to be able to understand what's going on a day-to-day basis. The sheer number of volume submissions, conference calls, whatever, easily swamp people. And so the idea of some kind of summary, some kind of editorial, not analysis, but at least the ability to summarize this, might make it just a little bit more accessible and get people to understand from the outside what the heck's going on.
And I seem to be hearing you say also in plain speak, not just a summary, but plain speak summary.
That's implied.
Yeah. Brett, could I jump in there? Yeah, I'd like to build on what Evan and George both talked about. And I think, and Evan's point about accessibility, and I think George referred to basically the same thing as, you know, we bring people in. We have newcomers. There's a newcomer program. There are structures that are actually bringing people to ICANN. I think the comment that was made earlier is that we have people who show up once and then don't come back, and that's our challenge. So to be able to make this community and these meetings, like in-person meetings, accessible, I think the point that Rudy made earlier, to make the conference calls and the sort of the out-of-band work accessible is really a key question and really the key challenge. And I think that would lead us to be able to take the newcomers and the first-timers and actually bring them into fill the pipeline of our talent and of our volunteers, so we look ahead 2 years and 5 years down the road that we've got new people coming in who are able to gradually build up their expertise. But that we're not losing people. So I think that's a really important point.
Thank you. Tijani Benjamin, I am from the ILAC. All those issues are very difficult, very hard to answer those questions. But I think the most difficult question is the stakeholder engagement. This is something that we are working on for a certain time, and we didn't have any solution, any real solution for it. But I think that for information access or information finding, Ashwin was working on the knowledge management and information management for a certain time, and I think there might be solutions. One of the solutions I think about is to set a strategy, an agreed-on strategy of housing the right information in the right place. Rules that have to be shared for everyone. And if everyone respects those rules, I think that this problem can be not solved, but we may have better means to find the right information. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Tijani is right, and that's something akin to what I said in my top-down direction of someone making some decisions that we can then follow and have a pattern. I think the problem number two, information access, is at some level the easiest one to solve, because throwing people and technology at it can do it. The other ones are a lot harder. George's suggestion of one day of introduction, I think, underestimates the problem somewhat. it's certainly a good start. You look at the amount of effort that goes into our fellowship program, and these people get a lot of handholding and briefings, and some percentage of them keep on, stay on. We've never thought it, we could afford to do that on a wider scale with 1,000 new people in a meeting. But.
I forgot who's next. Go ahead.
Thank you. Greg Shatton, president of the Intellectual Property Constituency. We talk a lot about stakeholder engagement, and on the other hand, we have stakeholder groups and constituencies, but by and large, they've been left to their own devices. At least speaking from my own constituency, there's very little support that we get to do what we do from ICANN in a very tangible way. And I can't speak for other constituencies and stakeholder groups, but it seems to be, you know, I'm assuming it's fairly similar. For instance, toolkits to help us manage membership lists and dues, some sort of common website template, something that provided a more of a checklist for the constituencies themselves. I believe that we have a wiki page as the constituency in the ICANN page, but I don't think we populate it, and there's nobody there to populate it for us. I contrast this with working groups, which are very well supported by ICANN staff, ICANN policy staff. If I could have, for instance, Marika Konings or Grace or Mary as a support of my constituency, our lives would be so much easier, and it would allow those of us in there to do our highest and best work and not have to be clerical workers along with policy workers all for free. Thanks.
Here, that cuts here to an interesting thing, which I think all three areas are going to have to deal with. In an organization that is very dependent on volunteers with a limited resource, it comes down to prioritization. And stop me if you think I'm misstating the problem. There is only so much money, there's only so many people, there's only so many staff members. When you're trying to prioritize, is it one size fits all? It can, if you come up with a qualitative system after your study and analysis of prioritization, will that work community-wide?
So I think there's a couple of components to that. I think if we're talking about support, you know, sort of resource support for the constituency, you know, or the constituent parts of the ICANN community, then that's one kind of, you know, sort of resource or allocation or prioritization. But then it's also a question of sort of the work that we do as opposed to the specific support. So, you know, I think, you know, if we're talking about work prioritization, that's one concept. But I think what Greg is talking about is, you know, like we could all use more support or resources to facilitate the work that we do as opposed to the work itself. So I'm not sure if I answered the question accurately or well, but that's sort of my take on that.
What Greg's saying is absolutely true, though. I mean, as a chair, as a constituency chair, I spend a lot of time on, like, people's hotel arrangements. Managing Rafiq, who's the chair of the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I spend time on managing the database of the members when we add new members, and then double-checking to make sure that they're still current members when we're going to do an election and whether they should get ballots and managing all that. I mean, this is a lot of administrative stuff that volunteers are doing that makes it very difficult for them to allocate their time to being Sherpas for people as well. So if there was some kind of mechanism of support for those kinds of activities, and I think some mechanism, as Fadi was kind of half suggesting the other day, of community engagement program or something, where we could steer people, new people into, instead of simply saying people from within our community will drop what they're doing on IANA and accountability and everything else and spend days trying to help you get into the basic levels of engagement, if there was an organized system-wide solution to that, that was a bit customized to the different communities' needs, that would be good.
So you're talking about a systemic approach across the board.
Yeah, so maybe coming back specifically to Greg's point, I'll give you an example. The Registry's stakeholder group, of which I am the chair, We have a secretariat. We have an individual, actually now two individuals, because of the growth that we've seen in our stakeholder group over the last year due to the new GTLD program, that we fund. It comes out of the membership dues of the registry stakeholder group. So we have our own assets and resources and personnel who have done a fantastic job for many years. But that's just our example. I mean, that's just how the registries have chosen to do it over time. Now, we are in the business of registering and resolving domain names. And so we have financial interests and resources that allow us to be able to pay for that type of thing. Other groups may not have that same capability. In that instance, having secretariat support for those stakeholder groups and constituencies with the support of ICANN, I think, is something that would be worth considering.
Sure.
Thank you. My name is Thomas Schneider, chair of the GAC currently. I'd like to make a few points for all of this. With regard to work prioritization, this is a huge issue, a growing issue for governments. I just say I support Olga and I will try to work with you if I find the time to to get this somehow organized. With regard to two, this is another, of course, important issue, and it has several easy fixes that could be done if there were awareness that there's a problem and that is easy to fix. If you take the acronyms, this is not really inviting. Everybody's talking about CWG, CCWG. Then if you knew, you ask, what does CWG mean? Well, that means cross-constituency or cross-community working group. Great. About what? And then, what is the CCWG? Ah, that's a cross-community. So it's the same, it's completely unstructured, inaccessible. You could also reflect that on the website. Did you have like a link to working groups and so on and so forth in order not to find it? Also, the way documents are drafted, there should be a date and an author and maybe also to where it belongs to an information on the headline or in the back that you don't have to see, is this the latest document, where does this belong to, and so on and so forth. And just the last point with regard to stakeholder engagement. It's a structural problem that some stakeholders are overrepresented and underrepresented. This is normal. In my country, we have a militia parliament because people feel that parliamentarians should have a foot in the real life and not be professional parliamentarians. But that makes that you have too little people from small and medium businesses because they have no time. The teachers and retired people and lobbyists from different areas are overrepresented because they are paid for that. And then first step is once you need to be aware of this, and then you might try and find targeted help for underrepresented stakeholders. So give them a special treatment, which is accepted because everybody knows that they are underrepresented. So thank you.
Thank you. Some at least ideas to chew on there.
Tony Holmes, chair of the ISPCP, and I work with Bill on the stakeholder engagement thread. But it was only today when we were working through this, Bill showed the matrix that we'd pulled together, and there was a remark in there saying that newcomers find discussions repetitive and complex. And I was suddenly left thinking, I've suffered from the same thing during this meeting as a long-timer in ICANN. In the GNSO Council, we were talking about effective ways of using our time. We were talking about the new meeting strategy. And I made the point there that I'd been to three sessions on IANA, and I'd sat through the same presentation three times. And I was suggesting that once should be enough. And maybe when we talk about rearranging meetings, then at the start of the meeting, you could have a presentation on a particular issue. And then when you get into sessions with different groups, they can go straight to the topic. You've had the briefing. Let's talk about the issues and have the dialogue that we need. And then I was left thinking, well, not everyone turns up at an ICANN meeting at the same time. So what about those that maybe not, they don't come for the first couple of days? Well, the easy answer to that is that we use internet tools. So you record these things and you have a link from the ICANN website. You can put it to YouTube or whatever. And I think that fits as well for newcomers, that you could actually use those tools and make it easy to follow. In terms of getting involved in the work, some of the problems there come with getting up to speed. And again, for instance, with the IANA issues at the moment, there's a set of questions out there. We could actually have a link that gives a little bit of background to those questions and maybe says a little bit about each question. And it's there not only when you want to look at it, but you can go back to that at any time if you have that link. And just a quick word about the language issue, because in the ISPs, we publish newsletters, and we've actually published links to those from our website in both the French and Spanish, because we've got French and Spanish members. But I never thought until it came up today that that's pretty useless if you can't find our website. So maybe we need those links through in different languages, and I think maybe using interpretation at the front end of the ICANN website to point to various things would also be a great benefit.
I think one possible solution might be to make the interpreters work 24/7 all around the world. I think that might help out a lot. Rob, you mentioned we've got some tweets.
Brad, thanks. I'd like to read a couple for you. Someone who runs the NCUC account tweeted that the group has started a travel support policy. Claudia Himena tweets that the language barrier could be diminished by translating documents in advance of meetings. And Samantha Dickinson suggests regular summaries might make the IANA stewardship process accessible and help people understand what the heck is going on. Thanks.
It's interesting because I think that's either the second or third time that we're hearing the idea of summaries and plain speak summaries, and not just the documents, not just the raw material, but some way of condensing that or bringing that down to a focal point.
Klaus Stoll, NZSG, and NPOC. I have a very concrete suggestion as to how we reframe and present the things we're actually doing. A few weeks ago, we had a webinar in Washington in the ICANN office, and we asked David Olive and Teresa to speak on the IANA, and they were not speaking about the IANA. They were speaking about why the IANA is relevant to the not-for-profit sector. And I was really surprised how much reply we got back from the participants in the webinar saying, oh, now we know why it is relevant for us. And that's, I think it's a small thing, but it makes, in my opinion, a hell of a lot of difference.
In other words, here's why it counts.
Yes.
Yeah.
That brings me back to the point of relevance. And I heard that more than once here today. How do we integrate people into ICANN? Maybe, what's the other way around? Why don't we, and it seems to be, sometimes we are telling our customers what they need and what is important. Maybe we should listen more what is important to the customer and integrate that into ICANN, and with that the customers will come to us.
So well, hopefully we're going down that road with this session. That's the intent.
But it's a simple change of attitude.
Yeah.
Yep. Waleed Al-Sakaf, currently helping out with members membership affairs at NCUC. And I come from Yemen, a country that's been suffering a lot recently, and I understand why many volunteers would not come from my own country. But I myself was an ICANN fellow at the very beginning. And I can tell you that being welcomed by the fellowship program was a really good start because it helps introduce you to the world of ICANN. But I also realized that it actually would be the pivotal moment where you either continue or not continue. So I'd say first pay more attention to the fellows. Lend them a hand. And one thing that really struck me a lot that throughout the discussion so far, we missed a fundamental question. I mean, we've been theorizing, hypothesizing why and how and what reasons are holding back members but in inReach efforts, but we've never asked. Just go ahead and ask a person, why haven't you been able to do this and that? I mean, we're trying to be more systematic, and several of us here are academics, including myself and Bill, so we understand that we need to do the research to understand the fundamental problem that's underlying here. And one thing that we are trying to do in the NCUC, and maybe this is a marketing pitch for our constituency day, we're trying to put up a survey and trying to get the feedback of those members. We have over about 400, right? 400 members already. And if a portion of that just answers us transparently and openly and tells us, these are the reasons. Perhaps we weren't felt welcome. There is the jargon. Perhaps it is the incentive, because oftentimes we fail to foresee that a small incentive even a travel support grant could actually make a whole big difference for someone coming from abroad. So let us take these into account and furthermore have this discussion go further.
So Brad, maybe I could respond to that also. Or Bill, go ahead.
Well, I would just say that, I mean, these are the things that Waleed mentions are both things that we are doing at the constituency level without any support from anybody else through volunteer effort. Polling people, asking them what holds them back or what makes it possible, and providing micro grants out of our own piggy bank to get people to meetings, because my experience at least is, you know, when people actually come to the meetings and interact with others, those are the folks that get the bug. We've had a number of people who have gotten much more engaged over the past 2 years, and I know a number of them came through the Fellows Program, and they got integrated into the feel, the touch and feel, and the quote, excitement, the buzz of being in ICANN that way. And I think those things should be expanded on a system-wide basis.
So I was just going to say, I think that was a great comment, and the idea of quantifying or capturing sort of the challenges, I think, is really important, and it is something that we discussed at the Friday session with the ICANN staff as maybe something that we ought to be looking at. So thank you.
Great. Chris, I would like to say to everyone in the room that if you have any problem at all with the ICANN website, Chris is here to give us his home number. Feel free to call him at any time, and he'll be happy to help you out.
And email address. This is Chris Gift, ICANN staff. I'm also on the information access group. I apologize for jumping in a community queue, but I did want to speak in support of what Alan was saying and also what Mr. Thomas Schneider was talking about. Something I think very feasible and concrete we can work on is cross-community documentation and publication standards. You know, if we had a unique document numbering scheme for all of our documents across the community, same titling, versioning standards, and publication methodologies and processes and metadata, all of that would greatly help our tools and would greatly help people in terms of just absorbing some of the content that's there. And I think that's something very feasible that we can work on as a community.
Chris raises an interesting point. I think sometimes it's interesting because we should always reach out to the community for solutions or for possible solutions or for things to weigh. I wish staff would be more involved, and also because they see a different side to the problems and should be elemental in the search for solutions. We've got about 6 minutes left. I'm going to cut the line. We're going to finish the people who are up there now, and then we're out of here.
Hi, Brad. Evan Leibovich again. I already said my piece once, but something that was said, and I think it was Tony, about coming to the same thing and same sessions and hearing the same thing over and over and over. So perhaps one idea is that when you have a topic of significant interest, that perhaps you could have multiple tracks, a beginning, an intermediate, and an advanced, talking about the same issue, but that could be addressed at different audiences. So if you want to know who is, you want to know IANA, you want to know new GTLDs, if you're just coming in, here's a session and it assumes nothing. Here's the other session and it assumes you've already made through here. And the third session is for the heavy hitters that know their stuff and can sit and toss the jargon around at each other. That might be one approach that could help. So when you have an important topic, you can have multiple, you know, you've got enough meeting rooms to be able to say, here's the advanced track, here's the intermediate track, here's the beginner's track, and that also could apply to the documentation as well. You know, here's a certain document, it assumes a certain level of knowledge of the jargon and culture or whatever, and here's something that'll take you, and here's your sort of who is 101 kind of thing, at least, and maybe have a standard way of flagging them and saying, here's where you go if you need beginner's documentation, if you're just into it, both at a level of documentation and also at a level of the meetings as they happen here. Knowing the audience obviously makes it a lot easier to make a good conversation that doesn't waste people's time.
I'm Michaela Nalen again for the record. A couple of quick things. I think we've heard some really interesting and really good ideas from people, but some of them I think are ones worth repeating. The summaries idea, I really like that because none of us have time to read every single bloody document that this organization and community produces, never mind all the tertiary entities that like to throw stuff into the ring. On the language point, well, I can appreciate that the push for multilingualism is always a very attractive and very easy route to take. I'd push back a little bit and push more on using plainer, simpler language. Instead, I mean, the acronym thing, the CWG, CCWG, and I can't remember the third one is, and I do with this stuff a lot, you know, using terms that people can understand would be helpful. And I've raised this several times in the past, making it relevant. You know, how does this impact you if you are a registrant? How does it impact you if you are a registrar? How does it impact you if you are, I don't know, a whatever? And the answer might be, in some cases, it doesn't. You don't need to care about this. It's not important to you. Or it could be, this is really, really, really important. This could put you out of business, or this could help you make a fortune. On Chris's point around the documentation again, you know, don't forget, people land on documents from search engines or from links somewhere else or God knows what else. And sometimes it's impossible to know whether the document you're looking at is the most current thinking on the topic, whether it's current, whether it's a rough thought paper that somebody threw together in 5 minutes, or an academically researched, fully approved policy or something else. And I think we've also got some interesting resources now within the organization to help make some of these things more accessible. I mean, the schedule even for the meetings, it's impossible to decipher. You can't work out, you know, what a topic or a session is about at times, and so on. I mean, it's a lot more.
Thanks, McKay.
Patrick Feldstrom, Chair of ESSEC. I think the information overload is something that we have to work with, and it's not the same thing as Keith and I have been talking about priority. That was work priority, but also we need to talk also about the information overload, the number of documents that we produce, and also, of course, the difference between documents that we actually finalize in each one of our processes compared to the working documents. Let me give an example. We have in ESSEC produce around 6 documents a year, and nowadays we translate all the documents to multiple languages, and the documents on IANA is actually translated to not only the UN languages, but also Turkish and Portuguese. I've been looking at the number of times those documents have been downloaded, and they are almost zero compared to the number of people I've been forced personally to explain here at ICANN what IANA actually is doing, when they actually could have read that document and they could be done with it. So that's one thing that we just must do a little bit better. Thank you.
Just a very quick comment on what Patrick said, and it goes back to standardization and things like that. A good number of times, and certainly more than 2 or 3 over the last year, I have looked for something and found a draft document. There was a public comment period, there was an analysis, but the actual finalized document was never issued or perhaps never published. That makes life very difficult, because what they can find out there may or may not be the current one. Mm-hmm. And it's not even possible to know, and usually there's no idea of who to ask.
Okay. Hello, I'm Jonas Wanin, and I'm the IETF liaison to the ICANN board. First of all, I would like to echo what Patrick just said and what was said before. We have. Oh, thank you. That was great.
We got really bored really fast.
I really got to the point really fast. I missed it myself even. Anyways, it's not just information overload, it's information structure. And that is something that we are missing here. I already thought about that long time ago, that we should have a numbering scheme for our documents and some sort of way of tracking the documents through, that we know, really, you find the kind of like drafts and find the actual, then the documents that when they're actually published and when they're agreed upon. But that wasn't actually the main point that I came here. I came here for 2 things that was discussed earlier, and that was getting new volunteers in and the volunteer fatigue. It's quite normal in organizations, in any organization, basically that there's a small core of people that do most of the work, but that's maybe a little bit stronger in this organization than in other organizations. So therefore, we have to see how we can get new people in. Looking at the problem, what Alan said, that people come here, look at once, and go away. One question is there, that have we looked at that basically how they could be effective from first meeting on. How can they find something small that they can contribute to and influence so that they find that they can do actually something worthwhile, that it doesn't take them a lot of time to just walk through, work through that, where they can find their interest. The other thing is to look at a framework where people can donate a little of their time, because not everybody can donate as much as Alan into this. And if it's impossible to donate 2 or 3 or 4 hours of their week, and you always have to donate basically half of your week just for conference calls, people won't, only a very small subset of people actually have the time to do that. So that is a little bit looking at the framework in there, that where this is not a charity where the minimum amount that you can give is $1 million, but you can give $5 as well. Thank you.
Just a quick comment and clarification. When I said people do something once, there are plenty of people, I'm sure, who come to one meeting and don't come back. I was referring to people who participate in a working group, an intense effort, and then we never see them again. And there's a bigger, more important message there, that either they feel that they've wasted their time or they tried once and aren't going to bother doing it again. Those are the ones that really worry me, because they showed the intent to be a real contributor, and then we don't, then we lose them again.
Bill.
Just further to what he said, though, and it also ties back in a way to what Evan was saying about having different levels of session. We have to recognize the need for differentiated levels of engagement. You can't have one-size-fits-all expectations for everybody. Not everybody's going to dive into this and spend 30 hours a week pro bono. They're just not. So you have to have a system that makes it clear how you can engage at this level and get involved in the, you know, and track sessions to this point, et cetera, without having to necessarily go all the way and still be doing something productive and useful to you. And I think in order to do that, again, we have to have a systematic framework for this. You can't do it all hodgepodge, willy-nilly, pick your term. It has to be elaborated in a way that is logical.
All right. We're already past time, so Keith?
So actually, Patrick wanted to respond to that, and then I'll have a wrap-up.
Yeah, I would like to give one comment that I forgot to say. I heard a lot of words that people think that fellows and other sort of newcomer programs we have is pretty low. I think we should look at the lack of rotation. We have a lot of people like us that have been around for a very long time. But among the new people that are arriving, I see a very high percentage of the new people are coming from the fellowship. So we need to measure the other way around as well.
Thanks, Brett. This has been, again, Keith Drazik for the transcript. This has been, I think, a really, really effective session, and I think we've had a really good conversation. Just a couple of wrap-up thoughts from my perspective. I think in response to Alan's question or point to me at the beginning, is saying I might not agree that if the 2 and 3 were resolved, information access and stakeholder engagement, that maybe work prioritization wouldn't be necessary. I think I do agree with you, actually. And if I were to go back and suggest maybe a reordering of this for the discussion's sake, in that if you have, you know, effective stakeholder engagement, making the community and the work accessible, and if you have information access, basically the tools to make sure that those that participate can do so in an efficient and an effective manner, then I think you're probably right. I think then the work prioritization becomes a lesser issue. But hearing this conversation today, we obviously have a lot of work to do on 2 and 3. And we still have the problem of overload and today. And I think on that work prioritization question, you know, going back to the original question, I think, from Brad, is what doesn't work? From my perspective, what doesn't work is trying to do too much in too short a time frame, because then you end up either with sort of incomplete work or sloppiness because there's just too much going on. You know, look at the questions of, you know, policy and implementation. I mean, certainly in the GNSO and the new GTLD program, and compressed, I think, even further because of all of the discussions around the IANA transition. I mean, there are things that could have been done better, I think, and or more thoroughly if there hadn't been such a time crunch. And I think that we need to deal with that in the immediate future, while we're working on the other issues of access and engagement.
Thanks, Keith. Good points. We're going to wrap this up. Again, this is not the end of the discussion. The discussion's ongoing. stop if something comes to mind. There were some great ideas that came up here today, and it's nice to see a session built around a search for a solution rather than identification of a problem. There's examples of the problem, but again, these gents want to find solutions. They're going to go back to their teams with what has been drawn from this session and other outreach and search for solutions. So if something comes to mind, again, the whiteboard is going to be near the ICANN registration area. Throw a note up there. Hashtag ask SOAC. Idea comes to mind, shoot us a tweet. It's ongoing. Let's thank these gentlemen and also thank the groups that they represent. Guys, thanks. Thank you very much.